good friends.
So I got big respect for his shorty. You know what I'm saying? Yo. She got to handle that snoring. It's like, yeah, man.
Yeah, we also had a couple of kids together too. Don't forget that, man. You had your little princess right before I had my little prince. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it was a nice thing. Two men coming up and doing well. It was good.
Yeah, you know, Sean's one of those. Yeah, Digi's one of them guys, man. I see, you know, so many people out there trying to abscond and like avoid their responsibilities, and then you got a cat that like is always trying to take those responsibilities on and being a father and being an educator to his children, right? And so
just being there, bro. I see a young champion you're raising right now. If you want to give me a little hail, man. Yeah, he's a basketball champion, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my son Javon's already 20 pounds heavier than me, and he's going to be 14 in March.
Big man.
Yeah, you know, and just the best of me, right? The very all the best of me and none of the bad stuff.
People, watch out. That's the next champ, and you won't be able to beat him either. Look at his dad.
He's 14, and he's already how many pounds
heavier
than you?
He's 232 pounds. So he's like 20 pounds heavier than me as of right now, and yeah, he's got 14. He's into music. He's into media. He's into sports. He's got it all, man. He really does. And my daughter, she's a freak of nature herself. My daughter is bigger at 7 than my son was. I mean, she towers over what he would have been at 7. Mm. My daughter's 7 years old, and she's 4'8", and she's like 115 pounds.
Mm. Yeah,
like she's going to be a Glamazon.
There you go.
Glamazon. I like that. I never heard that before.
She's going to be like 6'3 and like 210. You want to step to her and get out of hand, she's going to light you up something vicious.
Are you training them too?
She's the one that wants to box.
Yeah.
When I come through the door, it's like, Daddy, Daddy, what about your box?
Yeah.
He's like, you know what I mean? He's doing his thing. It's kind of like... It's like what I've noticed is like with boys, there's two camps. There's the one that wants to follow in his dad's footsteps, and, right? And then there's the other one that wants to go the other way and blaze his own trail, right? And I think he's kind of that kid that wants to blaze his own trail and be identified with the things that he's. And I'm happy with that, right? Like I've never been that guy to try and force my kids to do what I do, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna learn how to defend yourself whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. I don't even want you competing, so you might not ever get to compete unless you're a grown ass individual and making that decision. But like, I want my children to have all the benefits of the good things that come from boxing, the discipline,
the
understanding, you know, the patience. It teaches you how to be a good human being, not just a good fighter, right?
Yeah,
I think it clearly shows what boxing discipline can do when you go through 20 years of incarceration, come back, marry a woman, make children, raise children, become a heavyweight champion, walk the streets as a champion. I mean, when we were walking to the studio, just to see the heads turn and look at the champion is what it is. You weren't even wooing like Ric Flair, you know what I'm saying? There was nothing like that. We just saw the Canadian heavyweight champion walked down the aisle there, and I was very proud to be there. I'm sure the other two fellas were very happy to be there. You know, this is not a fake WWE Vince McMahon belt. These are the
no doubt.
These are the trappings of winning. You know, this man is winning, and I'm not trying to say I don't want to see him win, but I'd like to see somebody step up and try to take this man down, because that's a good bite you're taking to take down a 4-belt wearing Canadian heavyweight champion, and this man needs to exercise. You know what I mean? Yeah. We need to see. So I think I haven't even heard the phone ring to somebody who want to call you out and say something. You know what I mean?
Nobody want to say nothing.
Nope, they ain't saying nothing. They're just gonna wait for you to get old. Watch this man sparring on online, people. This guy is pretty darn amazing, and he's even teaching people how to box. Why don't you tell us again the name of that training facility thing you do? You could get trained by the Canadian heavyweight champion standing.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
Jab Fitness. It's in the Guildford area in Surrey, and I do individual personal training. I teach people how to box. I help people when they've been cleared from injury and stuff like that to rehab and get back to their optimal self.
Mm.
I help people with weight loss and muscle building.
Mm.
I fix muscle imbalances and movement errors. So that's really kind of the science-y aspect of me there comes out in, in the training of
studying
people,
the
right?
Body.
Yeah, and the, and the recovery aspects, right? So really, I teach all my clients how to be their own massage therapists, right? And self-care practitioners, right? So.
And you also touched on some other thing you were up to, this 420 champ thing.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of it paralleled, and it was, it's an organic segue, I guess. As I was saying, you know, I have a medicinal marijuana card that I had to have to make sure that I didn't end up getting suspended by corrections while I was on parole, even though, you know, substances were never a contributing factor for me and my mistakes that I made as a young man. But, you know, I got that card there for PTSD and insomnia and stuff like that and anxiety management. And so, you know, once my condition to abstain was taken off, I didn't need that card anymore. But I still felt that it was important for me to continue working with the place that I was, which was called Aurora, but it's now called Perceive MD. And they're a research-based company, so all the information that I've been giving them and stuff like that is unique information and data, right? There's no professional boxer out there, at least in Canada, that's a 420 athlete that's having to manage their cannabis use and still pursue a boxing career. And so you have to have more than your medicinal card. You have to have an exemption waiver as well, because cannabis is still illegal under Olympic rules and also WADA and VADA. So when I fought about a year ago in Quebec, they tried to bamboozle us. They were hoping we weren't going to have all our documentation in order, but nonetheless, we came and we had all our paperwork in order, and they weren't able to take that knockout win off my record and try and taint it, because what happens is they have to respect your privacy rights, so they'd have to say that, you know, I tested positive for a banned substance, but they can't tell you what it is. So then,
like, we hear it in the news,
of
right?
Of course. Yeah. So then people's mind runs wild. Oh, it's got to be the worst. It's got to be cheating. Mm-hmm. It's like, so, you know, so that's one of those things that, you know, I had to do to make sure that I covered and protected my career interests and stuff like that. And, you know, over the last year, it kind of put me in a position to meet some people in the cannabis industry, the legal cannabis industry. And, you know, I've kind of found a spot in the industry, I guess, as the unofficial poster child for medicinal cannabis use for athletes and stuff. So I do see that there is a potential to get more involved in the industry in the future. I've got some people that actually want to partner up with me and start a brand, 420 Champ line or something to that effect. And so there's a lot of possibilities and opportunities that could come from that industry that really kind of parallel with my, you know, kind of harm reduction philosophy and ideology and really just about health and wellness, right? Like, cannabis is a natural plant, and obviously you can get concentrates and stuff like that, but you know, there's just so much there's so much upside to using something like that instead of a narcotic or a pill that's going to have other unintended consequences, right?
That's a good positive thing to just take from what you're doing, the hard work you're putting in. That's awesome. It's really good.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things where, you know, I'm responsible about my medicinal use and stuff like that, and you know, I'm not one of those guys that runs around, you know, puffing on a bong or something like that. Like, at the end of the day, I have children. I know that there's people that are looking at me as an example. And there's going to be some people that actually take exception to how I choose to treat myself. And so, you know, you can't please everybody. And there's always going to be some people that have an objection to what you're doing or how you're doing it. And, you know, I can't worry too much about that, right? But for those that do want information about it, you know, I can certainly share a little bit about, you know, how difficult it is. It certainly is not performance enhancing, so you've got to train even harder to make sure that you have a good result.
Right.
And you have a built-in clause of everybody laughing at you and not feeling bad for you if you ever lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
I lose a fight and it looks like my condition failed me. All the people in boxing that are hating on me, they're all going to be smiling and cheering and laughing. And they'll say, oh, well, you know what, you shouldn't be smoking that stuff or consuming that stuff or whatever, right? So subsequently, you know, once again, it chaps their butt when there's, here's this guy, right, in their own perception. Maybe they don't feel that I should be having the success I am having because of that personal choice, right? So at the end of the day, that's a them problem, not a me problem.
I got another question for you, Jay.
Yeah.
Do you think MMA has taken away from the amount of people going into boxing?
Yes and no. It has taken some of the bodies away from people that would go into boxing. But I can tell you that the sport is so unbelievably different. Like, just in the simply the generation of force and torque, right? If you study the biomechanics of a MMA fight versus an actual boxing fight, you would understand that there's just a considerable difference. Sure, there's knockouts and there's hard strikes in MMA and stuff like that, but a boxer is not, it's not a defensive art, it's an offensive art.
Mm.
And so a lot of the sports, or a lot of the arts that go into the sport of mixed martial arts, they're defensive-minded art forms, right? And so, for example, like kickboxers, if they're guarding against a low leg kick, they're going to lift one leg up and check that with their foot, right?
Mm.
Well, taking that foot off the ground with a fighter is taking one point of contact off the ground. And that's minimizing the amount of force that you can actually generate in that moment, right? So I think it's taken some people away from boxing. It has watered down combat sports a bit because the rules and like just the newness of mixed martial arts, commissions and stuff like that are still trying to adjust, right? So, like, boxing actually ends up being hurt by mixed martial arts when it comes to, like, the commission stuff, because all these weird rules and things that had no, didn't even exist until mixed martial arts got brought into the equation and was being, you know what I mean, ruled over or presided on. Just made things more difficult. Like the Boxing BC Commission right now is embroiled in a lawsuit because they got involved in an amateur event that they had no business in, and now they're dealing with a lawsuit because this kid from one of the universities that was involved in the charity event died.
Oh no.
Yeah. So, you know, now
from the fight,
yeah,
he died.
Yeah. Oh, so geez. Professional boxing in BC is suffering right now because basically the governing body that had no business involved in what they were got themselves in it. And so now we're dealing with it because they don't, you know what I mean? They're afraid to get sued. So it's making everything tough, right? Mm. We had a show in December we were trying to put on here. My manager was building and it ended up having to be canceled, but that was some of it, right? Just the unfortunate circumstances resulting in that means that there's unintended consequences, right? In a world where people are always looking to cover their butts,
mm-hmm.
You know how it goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yo, we were touched earlier on the Lennox Lewis situation of him being a Canadian that left Canada, went to Great Britain to go on to do greater things. I'm wondering if you could let us know a little bit about, why don't you give us your opinion on that? I mean, you're obviously feeling the pain of being a Canadian heavyweight champion who basically is not getting any recognition or love from the people in your own country. Are you feeling or seeing reasons why maybe like a Lennox would leave Canada and claim another country to help himself out?
Unfortunately, yeah, I do. I do see why, and I understand why. And actually, if another one of those funny stories, but actually there's a connection there. My cousin's uncle is actually Lennox's uncle. Mm-hmm. So, but basically, Lennox was not getting the support. Basically, people didn't believe in him the way that he believed in him. And so, yeah, essentially he went where the support actually was for him and the interest was. And so, you know, once again, Canada lost out. And that's nothing new. Canada in boxing has struggled to support athletes ever since I can ever remember.
So yeah. Why is that? Because, you know, you get funding for soccer, hockey, you get all these different sports that you fund. why wouldn't they put a little bit of funding towards
the heavyweight champion?
Yeah, of Canada.
Well, I'll tell you, so at least in the amateur ranks, like Boxing Canada, for a lot of years they struggled. They weren't getting a lot of funding from the government, so they actually had to generate some of their funding to keep the programs going. Right, the guy we have there now, that's the president of Boxing Canada, Ryan O'Shea. He's a solid guy, and he was the president of Boxing BC for a number of years. And, you know, he's doing some good things for the amateur sport in Canada and stuff. But just the same, it's like, so in Ontario, for example, in Quebec, you have a lot of provincial funding and a lot of private funding that comes into the sport.
Okay.
And that's really why you see a lot of results coming from those areas, right? They're supported financially and otherwise, right? Mm. And the places where you see less funding, you can see less success. It's literally that simple, right? Mm. You get what you pay for in life.
So yeah, yeah.
We can't expect or want to have good athletes if we don't support them. And so, you know, I know for myself, you know, yes, my history certainly makes it difficult. You know, big companies aren't necessarily going to want to maybe get involved with me. Or let's say companies that lack the foresight that it requires to be involved with somebody like myself.
Mm. Right?
Because when the story does get out there and it does blow up, right? I mean, you guys were...
Movies have been made.
Oh,
about,
yeah.
Less.
This is definite comeback story,
a
right?
A lot crappier less. Movies have been made.
Yeah.
And the thing is that everything I've spoken about, like, it's not embellished.
Yeah.
It's really not. Like, it's a matter of public record, my life, right? So it's like, that's why I don't hide from anything. I don't run from anything, right? I just speak the real.
Your story is known, man. That's why they don't want to fight you, brother.
You know, you guys are listening to CJSF. 90.1 FM.
One on the radio. Yeah, 6 o'clock blitz.
We got Jay Byard in here tonight, Canadian heavyweight champion. Four belts in the house. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if we can find any more room for these belts out here.
I'm telling you, man. My man's energy is, and you know, you're just very humble. You know what I mean? Humble, you know?
One hell of a story, my brother.
True indeed.
You know,
I'm still writing pages, man, and maybe that's why I'm humble, because I know I got a lot of work to do yet. Like, these belts are wonderful, and I appreciate them, and you know what I mean? I cherish them, but at the same time, it's like, those aren't the belts that I want.
Mm.
I want the world title.
Yes, sir. It's
like, give me
world
up.
Title or give me death.
Like, yeah.
That's really how I live my life.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say it more serious than that.
Is there anybody you're looking to fight personally you'd like to call out?
I'm looking to fight anybody in the world from cruiserweight to super heavyweight that has a world ranking title.
Mm.
But the problem is that I know these guys don't want that smoke because there's too much risk and not enough reward involved.
Mm.
So sooner or later, that guy I told you about that's going to come across my story, that hears about it, that wants to help finance the expenses attached to my career, right? He's going to be the one that gets his points off the story in the book deal, in the movie deal, and all those speaking engagements, right? And everybody else is going to have that little bit of throw up in their mouth that
of
they
course.
Have to swallow back down.
Vomit.
Say, of course. Oh, geez, like, the guy was literally almost giving himself away at one point in time.
Yeah.
And we didn't see the value.
Yeah.
And now we couldn't buy him if we had all the money in the world.
So payback.
The thing is that as much as you can hear that, obviously it's frustrating for me and it's challenging to not have any financial backing and support right now, right? Mm-hmm. The blessing is I am not owned or controlled by anybody, right? Mm-hmm. I say what I want, when I want, how I want, for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, I'm on a podcast every 2 weeks called The Knockout with Noel Club. And there's over 4 million viewers live watching that that episode, right, that panel.
Mm.
And so, you know, I'm just grateful to have these opportunities where I can share a little bit about my story and maybe plant a seed with people, right? And, you know, ultimately we're hopefully going to have something happen here in the next little while in Canada. I mean, we're working overtime trying to find somebody that's willing to fight us. But once again, it's like, if I had some financial backing behind us right now, we could be fighting next week in Quebec, literally.
Mm.
We have opponents to fight. We just don't have the money to pay them. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, when a fight happens, the actual fan that's watching the MGM doesn't realize that guy, his trainer's other trainer, right? They're all showing up. all their airfare, their hotel, their food per diem, that's all covered by the promoter, right? Mm. The purses are covered, right? On both sides, that stuff has to be taken care of, mm-hmm. right? Then in some places, you have, like, prerequisites when it comes to medical stuff. They might want a head scan, like an MRI or a CT, right? So, boom, mm-hmm. there's another $1,000 added to that fight. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So when you think about it, it doesn't take long for the bill to balloon up.
Yeah.
Most people would lose their mind if they knew how much money really goes into even like a pretty crappy show. Mm-hmm. A show that you would never even see on TV that's just somewhere in Canada, right? Mm-hmm. It's still probably costing $70,000 to $100,000 mm-hmm. to get that pro show on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like... It's hard to make money in boxing, especially when you don't have sharp people, right?
Mm. And nobody wants to lose.
Yeah, nobody wants to lose. There's a lot of fugazis out there that are doing it for the wrong reasons, so they don't want to fight nobody. They got to have a softy every time, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, really, you know, me and my manager are really trying to just bring the old school back. Like, if you're soft, if you're heartless, hey, no problem, cool. But just get out of boxing. Mm. Stop holding the sport up. Mm. Stop pretending to be a fighter. Mm. I know it's cool. It's sexy. Everybody wants to be, like, looked up to. That's why people want to be called fighters that aren't really fighters, right? Mm. But, like, save that for the real fighter, the real warrior that's going to go put their life on the line, right? That doesn't need to be overpaid. That's happy to do it for a smoke and a pancake. You're in there with a man that'll light you up for a smoke and a pancake, right? That's a different kind of
animal.
Oh yeah, for sure. 100%. 100%.
For a smoke and a pancake.
Like Tony Montana said when they were talking about Angel, man, that was fun.
Oh, I know.
We took care of that.
Oh yeah. First you gotta work your way up to 500.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about traveling to England?
Great question, actually. We've had some offers. So last year, towards the end of it, there's a guy named Moses Iltama, and they're dubbing him as the next Mike Tyson, right?
I've seen him fight.
Yeah, so he managed to... They offered us a fight November 2nd in the UK, mm-hmm. but then didn't send us the contract and the welcome letter that we need to be able to leave the country. Right? Mm. So... We don't hear anything for a couple weeks, and then I'm looking on social media, and I see, boom, that he was added to the Rida City card there, and he fought that Keating guy that had some suspect drug test that seemed to just go away. Right? And then he ended up in that, if you want to call it that, fight for like a minute or so before he gets starched. So, yeah, like, basically, I want that fight. I'd take Moses Iltama all day and starch him, man. The kid's 19 years old. I've been boxing 33 years. Right? He's an open heavyweight. I'd take that any day. But those guys don't want that fight.
His name again?
Moses Iltama.
Moses Iltama.
He was ranked 57 in the world in the open heavyweight division.
You want to fight the Canadian heavyweight champion?
He doesn't want to fight the Canadian heavyweight champion. He wants to fight a lot of these spent cartridges they already have over there in the UK
tin cans.
You know what I mean? Like, they do a great job of marketing over there in the UK, but most of these guys really are tin cans. They really are, right?
Tin cans.
Like, he's fought one guy, or no, he fought three guys with a winning record, if you want to call that Keating guy a winning record guy, but he had a padded record of 20 wins and some losses, right? But like, these guys are soft, man. None of them have been tested. Once they get level tested, they get starched, and they go away, and you don't hear about them no more. And then they have some other guy they're trying to prop up there and pretend is the next great thing, right?
Mm-hmm. But like, you hear what the chap said about you.
The heavyweight division, it's soft. Besides Usyk, right? You take Usyk, you take Dubois out of there, and you take, like, Fury's gone now. AJ's a shot fighter. You got, like, you got nothing really besides the guys that are coming up that are trying to basically keep down them prospects. Iltama's not a prospect.
Pad the record.
They're calling him a prospect. But like Justice Honey, that guy's a prospect. That guy is a beast, and he is going to have world titles for a number of years, I have no doubt. These guys coming out of New Zealand and Australia and stuff like that, they're coming from those traditional, like, core values. You know what I mean? They're not being, you know, distracted by the Western ways and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Right? Western ways, yes, indeed.
What did you think about the whole Floyd versus McGregor? I know it's old, but I just want to see what I want to get your take on it. Like what and like, how do you see Floyd? What do you think of
First
Floyd?
First of all, it was a cash grab. Second
yeah,
of all,
yeah, yeah.
That was an exhibition that somehow got written down as a win on his record, which is BS. He's really not 50-0. That was an exhibition.
Yeah.
That they called a win. But if it's an exhibition, you can't have a win, right? But so it was a great cash grab and a gimmick, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of people to make a lot of money on the top.
On the top.
But nobody in the actual business of boxing that could have used it got a piece of that.
Mm.
And then Floyd took that money and boogied off with it, right? So it's not like Floyd's putting money back into the business. Floyd makes money by raping the business, right? And like every good fighter he gets leaves. If you notice, after a few years, they go sign somewhere else because they're tired of being basically raped by Floyd, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that was a mutual scenario. Hmm. Probably the UFC and then Mayweather Promotions and obviously McGregor.
What about the Tyson-Paul fight? You tell us about that one.
Well, I mean, that looked like a humiliation ritual there with some Masonics.
Okay, then.
We'll go there.
Whoa, okay. Yeah, though, yeah.
But yeah, let's just put it this way. That was a two-minute round exhibition for 8 rounds where Mike Tyson essentially gave away what little self-respect and dignity he might have had and
this is why I was showing
and took
ass.
The money. Like, I guess at that point, it's worth it. You've spent your whole life, almost 60 years, building a reputation and a legacy to literally pee on it and let a Jake Paul have a win on your record now.
For some ducats.
For the rest of eternity, for time, you can look 1,000 years back now in the records, and you're going to see the great Mike Tyson got beat by some schmuck named Jake Paul.
A wrestler.
And so, because there's a lot of people that say, yeah, he basically... I haven't watched the fight yet, but I've seen interviews of what other people thought about it, and they say that, yeah, like, Tyson...
It was a walk.
You heard it from
a
fighter.
Take the dive, right?
He had an injury to his knee that he didn't disclose beforehand, because obviously if he had said something, they wouldn't have let him fight,
yeah.
Right? But you could see he couldn't push off when he was trying to step forward. Mm. All Jake Paul had to do was literally just step backwards, and he was out of danger.
Mm.
So Mike took the money, right? Jake took the money, and now we're talking about this fight, not for the right reasons, but for all the wrong reasons. Because happened is everybody then had questions about the legitimacy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's talking about whether or not boxing's rigged or not.
Right, like it's been said. But we're almost out of time here.
Yes, sir.
We've had the champion here with us at CJSF Radio 90.1.
FM.
Whoop, whoop.
One Order Radio.
Yeah, you got any shout-outs real quick, Jay? I know you got some people that do help you. You got a couple shout-outs?
Hey, I just want to shout out Danny McGarvey. Want to shout out Don Collette, the chairman of the Canadian Professional Boxing Council. Good people in my corner. They're going to be there with me all the way to the end. Much love to my people in Nova Scotia, all my Byard family. We're going to keep working hard, make sure they put some respect on our name.
Straight up.
Yeah, thanks for being here with us,
Jay. Man.
Thank you, guys, man. I've had such a good time. 2 hours flew by, man.
It did, man.
Appreciate it, bro.
Shout out the kids and everybody else out there. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the One Order 6 O'Clock Blix featuring Jay, our Canadian heavyweight champion. Thank you, son, for listening. Homeboys, quickly, a couple minutes left. Any shout-outs?
Go ahead.
You go, Digi. You always go first,
did.
Baby.
I just did, bro.
Okay. give a shout-out to Nigel Peart. Actually, its funeral is at Valley View at 72nd, and I believe it's 148 or around there. Yeah, 148 and 72nd, Nigel Peart, Sunday. I believe it's 1:30?
Yeah, 31st.
It starts at 1:30, so everybody who knows Nigel Peart there, He's going to be sent up on Sunday, and hopefully we see you all there who know him. A big pillar to the community. That's my shout-out to the Purr family and everybody keeping it real out here in Canada. We have Jay Byrd on the house tonight, man.
Quickly, for you, Hardbody, got like 30 seconds, bro.
Yeah, man, I just want to say, you know, I just want to say shout-out to Jay, man, for coming in and you know, Digi for, you know, connecting this. And, you know, I want to say peace to all the youth out there, you know, who share the same story as Jay, you know what I'm saying? Just know that there's brothers out here that, you know, made it through that. And, you know, y'all need big bros. We here for y'all, man. This is 1 Order Radio, 6 o'clock.
Stay positive.
Blitz, man. Peace.
Peace.